Talk Live with Psychics Online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudience can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, welcome, everybody. I see we've got people in the chat room already. This is StarsCast, also known as Natalie. I don't think many people even call me StarsCast. It's always Natalie, Dandley. Anyways, tonight we have another great topic that Stars James and Stars Dragon Spirit will be discussing. It's about the mystical origins of the many December holidays, you know, from Christmas to the solstice to Hanukkah and all kinds of things, the way people celebrate. I did a post in the blog about it today, and I'm just loving my blog because it's done with WordPress, and Tony had to add some stuff for me today. So, you know, I love to learn. Everybody knows that about me. And anyway, so we're going to start, and Stars James, if you will begin, I will go check in the chat room and see what's going on.
Okay, thank you, and I just want to welcome everybody and thank you for listening in to the broadcast today. And today we are going to be talking about the mystical background, but also, you know, a lot of this could go historically, which would be more the religious side of it. But kind of, you know, more of, I think, of what we're focusing on today is really the mystical side. Like, what are the, you know, some of the traditions, like, where do they stem from? What are the mystical qualities within the tradition? And then also, the prophetic or mystical qualities of the evolution of these particular holidays, such as, I know Hanukkah is a huge one that has a lot of esoteric quality or esoteric meaning behind some of the practices. As well as, you know, there's some, personally, I believe that there's a lot of mystical quality to Christmas as it has evolved from, it actually evolved from a pagan holiday to a quote-unquote Christian holiday, but the representation there, I believe, has a mystical quality to it as well. So that's one thing that, those are some of the things that we'll be talking about today. And I guess, too, I wanted to mention, you know, we talked a little bit about mysticism last week in talking about, you know, specific mystics. But, like, what is the mystical? What does it mean, you know, to be mystical? And I think that there's a few different definitions to mysticism. I guess for me, if I were to define it, means, like, oneness with spirit, the universality of all that is as it comes from one source. I would consider that a mystical truth or a part of mysticism throughout the history of mysticism. You know, it also can mean experiential spirituality, whereas, you know, you have religious spirituality, which is more learning things, and a mystical revelation or mystical experience would be a revelation that comes not through learning, not through, you know, researching something or reading a book, but rather an experience of something. And so that to me is kind of what, you know, what it means to have a mystical quality to something, that there's an underlining meaning and an underlining pattern. And ultimately, too, I believe that and this is, again, my personal belief, but I believe that all mystical teachings really leads us, you know, to one truth rather than, you know, many different opposing viewpoints and only one of them being right. I believe that, you know, if you look really at, you know, Sufism, which is mysticism in the context of Islam or Christian mysticism or, you know, Buddhism and all of the many traditions that are out there, and there's many, many more. But, you know, really, if you go to the mystical qualities of them, many times the message is actually the same, and that truth, with a capital T, truth, is really represented in a singular way, whether rather than, you know, it being one truth and many falsehoods, there's truth that can be ascertained through different aspects of religions or even historical shifts in consciousness and things of that nature. So that's just kind of my introduction. And I probably have a different viewpoint on mysticism, or I may have a different viewpoint on mysticism. I'd like to check with Cheyenne just to see if, what is your take on mysticism?
Well, first off, I'm glad everybody's here to join us. But secondly, the same thing. Mysticism to me is something not necessarily that you have read in a book, but something that you experience. It's back way back even before the times of Christ, Essenes, which were free thinkers, the different experiences of what different, well, as you said, religions, there's a difference between the religions and spirituality. But as I have always said, there's a common thread that runs through all of them. But again, it's an experience. Mysticism is something, to me, that is discovered, is walked through. It's something that you experience, and it's kind of like an epiphany, maybe, or a light that goes on, and so forth. As you said, James, there are a lot of different religions and so forth, but there's also an increase in spirituality, and in that increase, there are little groups or sects, S-E-C-T-S, that are popping up in it. And again, but they all have a common thread. But insofar as being just, you know, only one being right, you know, there being one religion that's right, I'm with you. I have never believed that. I don't think I will ever believe that. I don't think that applies to anything. Again, there's commonalities between these different things, and there's a common thread between these things. And there's different little compartments of it. But insofar as just one being the perfect one, the right one, no. I don't see that happening. There's different heads. For example, the different origins and the different celebrations around this time of year. I'm going to say this time of year because it's not just Christmas on, you know, December 25th. It's a lot of things during the dates of this month and the first week of January. So there's a lot of different stories and a lot of different beliefs and things. Each different belief system, or let's say globally, these different traditions and things, they all have their own story as to how it began and how it's passed down through the tradition is passed down through the generations. But there's still a common thread between all of them. And I do agree with a lot of the religions that are based and so forth. I tend, along with the Yule, the paganistic side, and solstice, you know, the winter solstice and things of that nature. But it does jump, basically, bottom line roots from pagan to Christian, and it was adopted into that. So I hope that answered your question of what you were looking for. So
sure.
I'll go ahead and give it
actually,
back
and that's the one. That's the
go
one
ahead.
Nice thing about our different perspective is I know that you do have a little bit more of the pagan perspective, which I honestly I don't know a lot about it, and I've said this on several different shows. It's really not something that I even really feel too drawn to, which is okay. I would consider myself a deep monotheist, meaning that I only believe that there is one God, but I do believe that there's many different expressions of God. through the angelic and you know, of that nature. And so I don't know a lot about the pagan backgrounds. I know that it has a profound impact on some of our traditions, especially the Christmas tradition. Anyway, let's start with a holiday that, because I have a few holidays listed, but one holiday that I've actually done some research on that I know quite a bit about in terms of the mystical side of it, and that's Hanukkah, which is a Jewish holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular holiday is one that it stemmed from a success over. It's interesting. I just mentioned this, but in the Jewish faith, there was the Hellenists came in and they were trying to destroy monotheism, and because they had pantheistic belief system, and this Hanukkah actually stems from a war that was fought between the Hellenists and the Jews, and the victory, the feast that comes from that victory is Hanukkah. Now, I don't believe that, and that's more of the historical background, like what it, you know, what happened and how this particular holiday, you know, came into being. Mm-hmm. However, it's interesting that the actual practices that take place in Hanukkah have tremendous metaphysical or mystical qualities to them. The nine candles, you know, one representing, you know, one is in the middle and it's above the other ones, and that represents someone's birth or someone, you know, coming in, someone's incarnation essentially, and they are incarnating into duality, which is the four candles on either side. And then they, through the days, they go through a series of lighting these candles, and it's bringing illumination on the path. And they do this for 8 days. And 8 days, in the Hebraic tradition, the creation happened in 7 days. And on the seventh day, you rested. Well, in the Hebraic culture, on the eighth day after someone is born, they enter into a covenant with God, and they're circumcised in that particular tradition. And so really what this whole, you know, what these actual practices are representing are practices that bring us in from duality into unity, first of all. But secondly, the eighth day, entering into covenant, represents us being the temple of spirit or the temple of God, and that we you know, house that, which is kind of the mystical quality of the holiday, is that we are the new temple, and it's not a physical temple. It's that the spirit resides in us. Which is actually something, it's interesting because, you know, this was in the Maccabean era, which Jesus came just after that, and Jesus actually expressed the mystical side of Hanukkah in his teachings as well, where he, you know, he talked about us being one, and he talked about us being the temple of God and things like that. So that he would oftentimes go to people and say that, you know, the kingdom of heaven, which was the kingdom of, you know, the stars or you know, it really represents where everything stemmed from. It lives inside of us. And that was one of his primary messages, which kind of goes along with this particular mystical teaching. And I would assume, too, since, you know, it's very clear that he was schooled in these, you know, first of all, the historical side, but also a lot of these esoteric teachings, I would imagine that some of what he was saying actually stems from this particular holiday. And, you know, that this would have been a practice that he experienced throughout his life. So I guess with that, I mean, what are your thoughts on Hanukkah? What would you have to say, if anything? I mean, I know that, you know, when we talk about Yule, I'm not going to have a lot to say. So what are your thoughts?
Well, first off, no, I want to say I've been around enough of a diversity of people in my life that I have been very blessed to experience different types of celebrations and learn different backgrounds and so forth. And I agree with everything you're saying on Hanukkah. For me, everything is going to surround a creator, something bigger than ourselves, a creator. And it's not that I have anything against the word God, it's just that I look at things as being created, so he is a creator to me. But I agree with the Hanukkah. What I find interesting is because I'm not sure how familiar you are with Kwanzaa, but Kwanzaa is only 34 years old. But a lot of the back history and a lot of the celebrational things that are done in Kwanzaa are kind of like Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that very interesting. Again, it, like I was saying, a common thread between things. Because with Kwanzaa, everything's seven, the number seven. But what is interesting in numerology, the number seven represents Christ. Now, they also light candles, okay? And the Kenara is in the place of the menorah. And they have seven candles. They have one black candle in the center, and then they have three red candles and three green candles on either side. And each single candle, just as in Hanukkah, each single candle has its own representation, has its own reasoning and everything of being. And it's the same thing with Kwanzaa. If you don't mind, I'd like to tell you just the seven meanings of it, and then I'll drop it. Kwanzaa starts on the 26th and ends on December 1st. I'm sorry, January 1st. But the first candle always is for unity, which unites family, community, nationality, nations, races. The second is self-determination, being responsible for your own conduct and behavior. The third one is for collective work and responsibility, working to help each other in the community. And then it's cooperative economics, working to build shops, businesses, and so forth, which is very common in a Jewish community, so to speak. And then purpose, remembering and restoring traditions and cultures and customs and history. The next would be creativity, using creativity in your imagination to better your communities. And the last being faith, believing in people, family, leaders, teachers, righteousness, so forth and so on. So they're kind of comparative. But I liked it because of the simple fact that it brought together not only Africa's belief systems, it also included, you know, the United States, the Northern Hemisphere's belief systems as well. But the two of those I find very interesting because of the nature of them and what they represent. So it's kind of like I'm not just Yule in, you know, the summer solstice and things. There's other things in it. But it's mm-hmm. kind of like in Yule, the solstice, you know, it's the celebration of the rising of the sun, S-U-N, not S-O-N, and the beginning of winter. There's a lot of different things to it, you know. And to be honest, when all of this started, insofar as Yule and everything, it was in Germany. It was German paganism that this started in. People would visit houses and sing good wishes and give presents and so forth and so on. And it's the longest night and the shortest day. So that's why they would say it is the birth, you know, the rebirth of the sun. There's a lot of things, and it's kind of like it's all in my mind going all at once, looking at the common threads between everything and wanting to bring it up. But there is a common thread, a commonality between the two, Kwanzaa and Hanukkah. When you mentioned Hanukkah, first thing I thought was, yeah, the story of Hanukkah very much, you know, goes along with Kwanzaa. But Kwanzaa is only 34 years old, but as I said, 34 or 36, if somebody wants to look it up. And, you know, even in Native Americas, when it comes to the winter solstice, it's celebrated. But if you want to go down to the bottom gut level of it, I guess you'd put it, you know, the honoring of the pagan god Odin is what had begun it. And the story, now this is where, again, all of these religions have a common thread. They have stories, but the stories are familiar. They kind of take off on each other. Odin would fly through the night sky, on a magical flying horse, which to me would be Pegasus, of course, announcing who would be blessed or who would be cursed during the coming of the year. And yet, you know, we go by Santa Claus, and he goes in a sled, and he has his reindeer pull them. But it, all of it has the same meaning. All of it is celebrating and representing a birth of something, a birth that is celebrated in their own way. But yet the stories and the backgrounds and the growth of them, again, some ways are connected. They're kind of the same. So sorry to go on for so long. I'll give it back to you.
But no, that's fine.
Find it interesting, you know, the Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, they're kind of on the same framework, so to speak.
Yeah, no, and I really like Kwanzaa, the origins of Kwanzaa and you know, where it came from, all of the cultural aspects of it as well. I mean, Kwanzaa really, I was, when I lived in Kansas City, I was a part of a community that there were a lot of African Americans, and so I probably was my only opportunity to really learn a lot about it, although I guess I have the internet, and you know, it just never really piqued my interest until
mm-hmm.
I was a part of that community, and it's actually a really beautiful holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Has more, you know, it certainly does have more cultural aspects to it rather than spiritual or religious, although the tenets of Kwanzaa are certainly innately spiritual, you know, this idea
mm-hmm.
of community. There was one that you had mentioned, the collective, or was it economics? Or there was something that you mentioned that I actually found quite interesting because it was
they
more
tried
of
to
a
the community.
Yeah.
Better the community.
Yeah, more of a socialist type ideology, which to me isn't necessarily bad. I mean, there are dynamics of socialism that to me personally are good, and there are dynamics that, you know, can certainly be a downfall. But I do believe that, you know, community-wide socialism that happens on a community basis with
mm-hmm.
you know, things like community gardens and you know, food programs and things that are that medical. I know that there in Kansas City there's a socialized medical group there that,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you have some issue you can go to. I mean, those sorts of things are actually, to me, very mystical because the idea of being connected to the divine, having access to the divine or the creator or God or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, terminology you
mm-hmm.
want to use for that, really it forces us to look at the other, look at those around us and the other as equal to us, and that
mm-hmm.
we have a responsibility then to work in cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of what we experience in our culture now is this duality model where, you know, we have a lot of fear towards the other, and we have, you know, real and fantasy enemies out there where, you know, it seems like every time someone talks about something they've seen on the media, they're talking about this enemy that is like non-existent. You know, it's
right.
not something that they don't experience in their own life. They get to a place in their own emotions where they have these emotional responses to people that they don't even know.
Exactly.
And so I do like that dynamic where I feel like, you know, from a mystical standpoint, it is important for us to live in community. And to interact with our community and the people around us and the things that are around us more so than, you know, the media's presentation of what's really going on, because
mm-hmm.
most of that isn't real for most people. It's
right.
real in that we watch it on television and it's real that we see it on the, you know, on the news, but it's not real. It's not a physical experience that people are having, and most people are, you know, from my perspective, asleep. Because
mm-hmm.
all they
mm-hmm.
do is they watch all of what's going on in the world, but it only comes through this little box in their living room, and
exactly.
there's no real way to gauge whether. I mean, of course, I believe that, you know, a lot of it is probably true, but there's such
mm-hmm.
a negative focus. That's not the only thing that's going on in the world.
Yeah,
and that's certainly not what's going on in your experience. And so I think that dynamic, and it's interesting that this particular holiday, you know, it stems from the civil rights movement. It was a minority answer to a very Anglo calendar. If I remember correctly, that's how this whole holiday came about. Was, you know, our American calendar was just Anglo holidays. It was all, you know, white, essentially white holidays, and they didn't really represent any other culture.
And this has brought two together. That's what I like about it.
Yeah. Well, and with Kwanzaa too. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Kwanzaa was not the only sort of, and I don't want to say made up, because I feel like it was birthed through the civil rights movement. It has tremendous amount of meaning because of that, because of its origin. I mean, that certainly makes it. It certainly causes it to have a tremendous amount of meaning. But it was created to bring balance even to the, you know, to the holidays that were already existing. Not just in December, but I believe throughout the calendar.
Yes.
So I really like that, and this is the last time I'm going to say, but I really like that community dynamic of it. In fact, it actually reminds me of, there was a holiday that I did peruse the internet just to kind of make sure I touched base on a few of the December holidays, and there's one that's in India that's really popular in India. Also one that is it's very new. It was established in 1985. It's called Pancha Ganapati. That's what it's called. And it's a 5-day feast day, or a 5-day feast for Ganesh. And Ganesh is a representation of the divine that is the remover of all obstacles. And I find it interesting, because we were just talking about Kwanzaa. The 5 days, the purpose of these 5 days is to focus on or meditate on love and harmony with those around you.
Correct.
And they take different dynamics. First of all, they do their family, then they do their the people that are closest to them. They do their community, they do their businesses, and then on the fifth day they do pretty much global. Essentially, they focus on how this can impact people globally. And to me, I mean, that's a very beautiful expression. I mean, if you're going to, you know, do any mystical practice throughout these holidays, that's a wonderful way of kind of, you know, focusing on those around us and focusing on what the innate mystical meanings or the innate very human meanings of each particular holiday.
Humanitarian.
Yeah, humanitarian. Well, in a lot of what happens during Christmas, I think that it's been commercialized a lot, but I remember when I was younger, and this was the time of year where people really gave to the community, and they gave back to the community, and there were a lot of community functions, and I don't, you know, I'm not saying that doesn't exist anymore, it just seems very commercialized now. I feel like I'm dating myself by saying that, because
you're getting my thing now. I was going to work on that too. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, I mean, and to me, it's kind of sad. What's really, and you know, this whole idea, we talked a little bit about, you know, the underlying purpose of things like Kwanzaa, and that it brings unity. That's a defining characteristic. And the one thing about, you know, the Christmas and the Christianity aspect of it is, it's almost a divisive. There's almost a divisive quality to it now. I don't know how many times I hear people talk about, you know, them taking Christ out of Christmas, and it's like, really? You know, like, you don't have to do that. You know, you don't have to do that. And what does that mean to you anyway? You know, like, what is the underlining? I mean, it's like this offense is being built up, and if you really are following Christ, you would understand that Christ said, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. And if they slap you, turn the other cheek and let them slap the other cheek.
Right.
The whole idea of peaceful resistance has almost left this cultural conversation that we're having about these holidays. And it's almost like, to me, it's a smokescreen, because who cares? Who cares what you call it? I could care less. It's the underlining meaning. If somebody says happy holidays to me, it's the underlining meaning. What are they trying to express? If they're trying to express, you know, happiness and joy and, you know, and an invitation into their cultural experience, that's great. But if they're saying Merry Christmas in a very intentional way to make sure that I understand that the holiday is about Christ, it really takes away from Christ and Christ's message.
Mm-hmm.
And And I feel, and that's why I feel like this whole war on Christmas, and I hear it a lot, I see it a lot on Facebook. I feel like it's a smokescreen to destroy a community that could possibly be developed by making the other person the enemy. And really, I don't know anyone who would fight a war over the fact that we call it Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah. It doesn't matter, you know, like their holidays. I just don't
Name
know anybody
matter.
Who really is passionate enough about it to really care.
Yeah, it's
so,
the spirit of it.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm just
No, go ahead. No, that was actually my last statement on that. I wasn't planning on doing that, by the way, to make that argument. But, I want to talk about it a little more, so go ahead with what you were going to say.
I've really bit my tongue on that one because I'm the type of person who has always gone by feelings. And everything that I do, okay, And you know, like my crystals and all this stuff, everything that I do for a reason, and there's always a spiritual reason for it. Now, I'm sorry, and I'm not trying to offend anyone, but from the time that I was small, I was brought up to believe that Christmas was nothing but a commercialized time that everybody could bust loose, spend a whole bunch of money, get a whole bunch of toys, and who gets the biggest toy wins. I never heard anybody discuss the spirit of Christmas, why it existed. I've never seen outside of some of the, as I said, I was very blessed, outside of some of the cultures and some of the people that I have met through my life, outside of them, I've never seen anybody really have the spirit of Christmas in order, you know, to share with others, to share with the community.
Can I interject really quick? I apologize. This is, you know, really, I'm just making a joke here, but I have to do it because I remember about 6 or 7 years ago, I had somebody say, I finally found the spirit of Christmas. And I said, well, do you want me to cast it out for you?
Oh, no.
Do you want me to deal with that right now? Because we can.
No, I got to finish this part first. I'm really not trying to make a joke out of it, but the thing is that I am sorry. You know, I feel at Christmas time to me, okay, to show you an example, when I was doing my own thing, when I was finally out doing my own thing, all of my gifts that I would give to the people that I cared about or the people that were around me were handmade. To me, it was more of I'm giving them a part of me from my heart, something that I created just for them, and it's from my heart, and it's what I wanted them to have. I would go out with others, you know, and we would go door to door and do the caroling. And we would sit there and tell stories and things, especially when I was out around my Native American communities. You know, there are stories and things that were told and so forth. And things that were done, it was the whole community that came together and did them as a whole, instead of individual. And then all of a sudden, and you might like this word, I called it social shock, because I came back to this and all of a sudden everybody's running around and it's about who gets the biggest tree up, you know, who's going to get, what kills me is these stores, they put these things out for Christmas in October. And it's like, excuse me, you know, I'm thinking in my head, Christmas is spiritual. It's about the spirit that people have in them. It's about the spirit that you have in you. It's about caring. It's about sharing. It's about doing things that, and I put this on a lot of things, and sometimes it offends people. And I don't mean to offend them, but I sincerely mean it. You know, when I talk to someone, I tell them, you know, I believe in Christmas. I believe in Christmas for a lot of different reasons, you know, but I'm sorry, I am not the materialistic girl here. I think there are different things that you can surround yourself with that are spiritual and have a meaning to them. But I need to actually go worry about, oh gosh, I've got to spend at least this amount of money on this person and this amount of money on this person. No. That to me, that is not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about love. It's about sharing yourself. It's about your community or the loved ones that you're surrounded by. It's about the energy that you give off and the things that you dearly love and that you treasure, not about what you're going to buy at Walmart. And, I tell people, look, that's not Christmas to me. And it never has been, and I'm sorry, but it never will be. If I only give you one small gift that I have made myself, and you love that gift, that's what it's about to me. Or if I spend time with you and I know you need assistance with something, I will help you do that. And I'm sorry, but I tell a lot of people, and I say it over and over, I'm sorry, but the true spirit of Christmas people should have every single day of the year instead of only having it for one day and then cutting it off. It's kind of like Thanksgiving. When we have Thanksgiving, everybody says, well, you're supposed to give thanks this day. No, you give thanks every single day that you're breathing, not just one day that's on the calendar. And I don't mean this, like I said, in a mean way. It just bothers me because it's kind of like the whole meaning, the spirituality of everything has gotten lost. There's a very, very few, very small percentage of people who actually realize, celebrate, and do and feel, as I believe it was intended when this was passed down to us. Not what you can buy, not what you're going to buy each other things to make yourselves feel better. But what if the person upstairs is a person that's a shut-in and she needs help? Well, I happen to have one of those type of people, and I help her. But I don't help her just at Christmas. I help her every day that she's been here. And to me, that's the important thing. What you feel in your heart, what you feel in your spirit, what you feel in your soul, and sharing that with others is what needs to be looked at, not the price tag on something in Walmart. I'm sorry, as I said, I've gone on too long, and I really, really am not trying to offend anybody, and I'm not saying that it's wrong that you go do this or that. There is no wrong or right here. It's what you believe and what you celebrate. What I'm saying is how I look at it and how I celebrate it. So back to you, James.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I like what you had to say, and it is something that has been overly commercialized, and it's it has a lot to do with the consumer culture that we live in, and having it big enough and being big enough and being, our idea of wellness is. How much do we have, and do we have more than the other guy? And to me, that's actually a pretty destructive paradigm. If you are listening in and you're living under that paradigm, I'd like to invite you into a better paradigm, which is that you're fine just the way that you are, and you don't need to have, the next best thing. And that, most of the time, what people actually have is just fine. So anyway, I wanted to mention too. We were talking a little bit about Christmas and putting Christ in Christmas, or what does it mean to have Christ in Christmas? And to me, I am all for putting Christ back in Christmas. I just believe that the people who are making such a big stink out of it should actually be the ones putting it back in. The messages of Christ is that you have access to God, and that you are, you're one with God, and that we're one with each other, and that we are to be at peace with each other at all costs to the best of our ability. We don't create mindsets that are divisive. And so I am definitely a proponent, even though I am aware of the historical dynamic of Christmas as well. I mean, most Most biblical theologians believe that Christ was probably born in the fall, you know, somewhere around the Feast of Trumpets in on the Jewish calendar, on the Hebrew calendar. Which is nowhere near Christmas, which is fine.
Thank you.
And that's fine.
I'm glad to hear somebody else say that.
And it's good to. It's good to know the historical dynamics. I don't believe that there's anything wrong with, you know, celebrating peace on earth at any time. You know, whether it's on the 25th of December or if it's on, it doesn't matter. I believe that's something that we need to be striving for. I mean, because peace on earth isn't going to happen in a single day. It's going to happen as we choose to be at peace. I mean, the other holiday that I have even on my list is Bodhi Day, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with that one, but it's one that I actually recognize personally, and it represents the day when the Buddha achieved enlightenment.
Exactly.
And it's a day of contemplation and meditation and really thoughts of freeing the world from this state of panic that the world is in right now. And, to me, that's one of the most important. And again, it's not a single day activity. That particular day is to acknowledge that we can be free, the rest of the year from those things that we are in bondage to. But again, going back to Christmas. I really believe that, you know, all of these holidays, if we're talking about mystical, you know, the underlying mystical message that is existent in all of these holidays, from Kwanzaa to, you know, Hanukkah to Christmas to, you know, all the ones that we've talked about, I mean, the one primary message is a universality and a peace that is available through a different level of consciousness. Even you had mentioned you're going to have to do it again. The seven principles that you had mentioned.
Yeah.
Do you have those listed? Can you name those again?
Yeah, first off, I'm glad you brought up Bodhi Day because I also believe in that as well. So I know that I'm very familiar with that in as well. So that's a great in tune thing. But yeah, the main 7 points of Kwanzaa is unity, self-determination. Now when I say unity, it's unity of family, community, nation, race, everything. When it's self-determination, it's being responsible for your own conduct and behavior. And then the next would be collective work and responsibility, working to help each other and in the community. And then it's cooperative economics, working to build shops and businesses. And then purpose, remembering and restoring culture, customs, and history. And then it's creativity, creating your imagination to make communities better. And then, of course, faith, believing in people, families, leaders, teachers, and the righteousness that all the struggles that people go through.
Yeah, I love that. So, the common thread that we see with all of these is really a form of consciousness. I mean, even if you Christmas is one where if you actually put the Christ in Christmas, Jesus talked a lot about your consciousness, how you react in terms of your connection with the divine, and then how that manifests itself in your relationships. Mm-hmm. That's really what Jesus talked about. If you go through the scriptures, I mean, a lot of it was very symbolic, esoteric language, but what he was trying to do is he was inviting people into what Christians refer to as the atonement, which simply means at one with the divine.
Yes.
It means, you know, you are at one with God.
Right.
And I like the fact that, you know, on Christmas we hear this phrase, but I don't think people think much of it, is peace on earth, goodwill towards all men. And, that was what was heralded, as we celebrate Christmas and as we celebrate, you know, Christ himself or Jesus himself, that was heralded as who he was. He's called the Prince of Peace, meaning that he was, you know, almost like this royal ambassador of God. But as an ambassador, all he talked about was how to have, you know, appropriate and conscious relationship with both God and man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so this idea of peace on earth, goodwill towards man, I mean, it really, all of these go so well together. And
mm-hmm.
you know, really, you know, it doesn't matter to me if you celebrate Hanukkah, you know, or Kwanzaa. Actually, a lot of people that I know that celebrate Kwanzaa, I don't know if you know very many who do, but most of them celebrate Christmas and Kwanzaa. They
and
do both.
That's what I was saying earlier. They're combined.
Yeah.
They brought the two.
Yeah, everyone that I know, they do both. They don't just usually
mm-hmm.
do one. And that's because
mm-hmm.
a lot of African American heritage is Christian as well. I mean, they're, you know,
yeah.
and so it really came from that. I mean, even the a lot of the civil rights movement was a movement that was Christ based, meaning that, you know, they recognize things like peaceful resistance and that, you know, Christ taught and things like that as a good thing. Now, not all of the civil rights movement was that. But, you know, representatives like Martin Luther King certainly, you know, was a proponent of Christ's teachings in
mm-hmm.
that he was a peaceful demonstrator,
mm-hmm.
if you will. So,
well,
let's see here.
Christ was a Messian. Christ was a free thinker. And that
mm-hmm.
also
yeah.
caused a lot of upset, so to speak. Back in that time, especially with Constantine and so forth. You know, he was a free thinker. He was an Essene. And by that point, it was kind of like, no, you're going to do this, and you're going to do it this way. I mean, right now, there is an increasing amount and percentage of new religions and new types of belief systems coming out through the New Age. Wicca, for years, has been on the climb. More and more people are studying Wicca and practicing Wicca as their choice of faith. So it's not just one thing. But the point is, all of these different ones, as we were saying, they are all connected by a common thread. And I totally agree with you. You know, peace on earth and goodwill towards all men, I'm sorry, but to me, that kind of has gotten lost in everything, you know, that it was, or how I should say, I took it to be or mean. A lot of people don't look at things that way now. As we were saying, it's just commercialized, it's materialized. I'm not saying that every single person on the face of the planet is that way. I am saying that type of thinking, that type of behavior and so forth is on the upswing. And it's been on the upswing for a very long time. And I agree. I'm not going to say religious because I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. And the things and the sayings and the beliefs of the Christ energy that were taught and that were believed in are kind of getting washed away, so to speak. And it's like, okay, you know, why are you celebrating this when you're not really practicing or believing in what it is that you're celebrating?
Mm-hmm.
And I also
But I think a lot of Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with it's interesting because I do believe that there is a revival of spirituality on the
right.
globe, but there's also a revival of literalism, you know, when it comes
mm-hmm.
to religion,
mm-hmm.
like biblical literalism or Quranian the literalism of the Quran, you know, fundamentalism. I think that's certainly on a rise as well. This idea that, you know, that mystery is something that is a bad thing, you know, that you know, there are these mysteries that we really just can't know or don't know. You know, and I think that, you know, it's the people who say, well, the Bible answers all questions. I'm like, no, it doesn't. You know,
it doesn't.
It just doesn't. I mean, I've studied the Bible my whole life, and it doesn't.
Thank you.
So, and there are certain things that are just hidden, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. So I do see that there are two sides that are rising up, but I believe that spirituality will win out. That people will recognize
is definitely going to win out, and I
oh,
just
sure,
interject
sure.
really quick. It's kind of like you're talking about different things. You know, the Quran being on the rise. Same thing with the Kabbalah. There has been more attention paid to the Kabbalah in the last 15 years than in its entire existence. you know.
Right.
So there is that esoteric, there is that mysticism, there is that those teachings that are on the climb, which is a good thing for us, I believe.
Well, I think that people are becoming more and more disenfranchised with the humanist ideology, you know, the atheists. I mean, I don't even really know any atheists. But that humanist ideology where, you know, there is, which is devoid of spirituality. But then on the other
right.
hand, you have the, you know, the, it's what Jesus said, where you search the scriptures because in them you think you will find eternal life. And, you know, I really feel like a lot of religious expression is that right now, where people really are trying to find the answers in a book rather than in a
exactly.
connection and through a relationship. And that's really,
exactly.
you know, the answers are going to be found in the context of relationship, not in the context of a book. Now, can religion be useful? Absolutely. I mean, I consider myself religious in that I have certain sacraments that I practice and things of that nature, but it's to keep me motivated in that I continue my spiritual journey. I don't use those because I don't feel like the practice itself has any innate power other than what I give it, other than the intention that I have before performing it, and I do it in the context of becoming or transcending those practices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, embodying them and then transcending them. If that makes sense. I know that's probably confusing to some people who maybe aren't, you know, don't have a really spiritual path where they're not really seeking. But I would encourage you. I mean, you know, read books, read the Bible, read things like the Quran and things, and
mm-hmm.
glean from it what you know feels true to you. And ask for the Spirit's guidance, because I can guarantee you that when we ask, we receive. I do believe that to a certain degree we have free will on this planet, in that, you know, if you don't ask for help, you're probably not going to get it. So,
well, true,
and that, it's interesting, too, because that going back to Hanukkah, that's part of what the experience is in the Kabbalistic journey, is that we have a choice. We have a choice to either follow a particular path that leads us into capital T truth, or we have the opportunity to be polarized and in opposition with God and with those around us. Those are our only two options. One
exactly.
is choosing love, and the other one is the counterfeit
fear.
Of love, which is fear.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, let me look at the time real. Oh, you know what? It's 7:52, but if you would please, because I didn't mention Yule and I didn't mention the solstice, if you could maybe give a little insight into that, because it's something that I am just not familiar with.
Okay, well, just to make it short, because it's not going to be real long. As I said, paganism, really, if you trace it all the way back to where it started, Yule and everything, it deals with the German end of it, so to speak. They are the ones who started the traditions of everything that took place. And then the German paganism just kind of grew on and through these other decades and eons, so to speak. I'm really scrambling because I'm trying to piece everything together really quick. Even Native Americans, everything, insofar as the winter solstice. Again, it is a celebration of a rebirthing. And it's a rebirthing of the sun. Because, again, sun, if S-U-N, now if we didn't have a sun, we wouldn't have life. Correct? And a lot of other religions and spiritualists believe that if we didn't have the S-O-N, there would not be life. So, again, they're connected. Yule marks the winter solstice in the northern hemispheres. And then it celebrates the rebirth of the sun, the beginning of winter. And it carries on those traditions. And going into the pagan end of it, as I said, you know, the Germans, going from the Germans, it would go into, I don't want to say the Viking period, but I would have to say a little bit before the Viking period, and then into it, you know, the different gods that were listed and so forth. It's a celebration of Odin. and it's a celebration of cheerfulness and everything. But it's also, you know, let's say Odin would be Santa Claus now, but during that time period, it was believed that he would announce who was blessed and who was cursed. So these different types of belief systems and these different types of stories and so forth, they're all tied in together. And there are extensions of those that go much deeper, and to go into it right now, it would take quite some time. But it's not, as you said, it's not one person. It is a conglomerative of people that believe in this. It's been passed down through the generations. The storytellers of the Native Americans. Some of the things that I have heard just totally give me goosebumps, and I break out in tears because you can feel the meaning of it. You can feel the belief in it, and it's unwavering. And again, a lot of things that we talked about tonight, I think, as we said, some of these things, they're starting to waver. You know, we're talking about a lot of different religions, and we're talking about a lot of different belief systems, and these branches off of the tree that have all these different beliefs and everything, but they all still come from the same trunk. So with that being said, and you had mentioned, you know, the Quran and so forth, and the Bible most definitely does not hold all the answers. It really doesn't. That could be a whole show itself on breaking down the different parts of that. But again, the Kabbalah, the mysticism, the feelings for myself and people that I know that are trying to get into touch with themselves inside. To reignite things or to learn or to grow. When they started off with the Kabbalah, they were just unbelievable. Within a year's time, I've seen one person go from one extreme to another, and it was in a good way. But yes, there's Yule, the winter solstice, and the winter solstice is always a very, very big thing. Again, because it's dealing with rebirthing. And I also agree with you when you brought up insofar as Christ, you know, insofar as saying his exact birth date, for all of you out there, whether you know it or not, the calendar's been changed many, 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 many times. And a matter of fact, there was a whole month, 30 days, that was taken out of the calendar at one point. But the whole point of what I'm wanting to say, and I'm hoping, you know, to leave the thought with everyone is go by your spirit. Go by what you feel in your heart. All of these things that you have heard, like you said, peace on earth and goodwill to all men. You know, these are things that we are capable of. These are things that we were guided to. And these are things that are very important in our daily lives. It's not just a matter of looking up, you know, these different belief systems and religions and so forth and looking at dates and everything. It's going by what you feel in your heart and what you feel is what you need to do, what you need to express or what you need to believe in. There's a large choice of things out there. There are a lot of different religions. There are a lot of different things that are on the rise insofar as New Age and so forth. And agnosticism is even, you know, there's a rise on. There's a rise of atheism because there's a lot of people who are getting confused, who are believing, you know, that it's just a plastic thing that everybody's talking about. But, you know, it's not a thing that you're talking about. It's an emotion, and it's a spirituality. It's a feeling. It's a doing, because when you feel something, you then do it. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and give it back to you, James. I greatly appreciate everybody that's been here tonight and has helped with the show and everything. And I think this is a very, very good topic. And if anything, I hope it's put some question marks up for some people, and hopefully you will further your investigation into things to see what feels right with you and what you resonate with, and to see where you are within yourself. And with that, I'll give it back to you, James.
Thank you so much, and just thank you for your last thought. Actually, I was kind of contemplating even before you were mentioning. I really the one message that I would want to get across to people is really that underlining mystical message that be intentional about not just Christmas, not just Kwanzaa, not just Hanukkah, but what does each day mean to you? What are you bringing forth? What are you creating on this planet? And I mean, that would be my biggest message to you, and that you do have access to what I call God or infinite resource. You have access to that, and I would encourage you, seek until you find that, you know, that thing that brings you life.
Yeah.
Because that is, I mean, you don't have to make it complicated. You don't have to make it about a particular religion,
mm-hmm.
or about, you know, a particular specific path. Find the thing that brings you to a place of love, because from that place, if you can unconditionally accept where you're at and unconditionally accept those around you, you are in a place of power. You can manifest whatever you want from that place. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's probably I believe that's the message behind all of these particular holidays, is that, you know, find, consciously live in a place where you are, you know, you're asking tough questions but getting answers. You know, don't be satisfied with the status quo, and don't believe everything that you hear. Test it. See if it resonates inside of you. See if it brings you to a place where you are living a more fulfilled life, and you're having a positive impact on those around you and the planet. I believe that that's the underlying message behind all of these holidays, and I would like to tell you Merry Christmas. I'll probably talk to you before the new year. Actually, I didn't think I was going to be here, but I will be here. If you would like to talk to Cheyenne or myself, Cheyenne is under Stars Dragon Spirit on www.starspsychic with a Z. That's starspsychic.com. Stars is with a Z, sorry. And I am Stars James. Other than that, thank you so much for listening. It's been a pleasure having this discussion, and I wish you the best holiday. Thank you.
Okay, I have somebody that would like to say something on the air, and we all know him. Okay, you're
hi,
right on
everybody.
The air, Stars and Is.
Hi. Happy holidays, Cheyenne. Happy holidays, Network. And all our Stars listeners, wish you all a very happy and prosperous New Year. And that was an interesting topic tonight.
Thank you, Nias. It's good to hear. It's always good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Good.
Well, we're going to have him back. We're going to have him back so he can participate. And I know James and Cheyenne will love it, of course. And I want to thank some people now that were in the chat room, of course. Stars Aeneas was there. We had Stars Mystical Waters, Stars Priestess Candy Ranson. We had Stars Judy Noah. We had quite a few guests in there, and I was impressed. This was really a great topic. Did I miss anybody? No, Judy Noah? No, I don't think I did. Oh, my. I'm pretty good.
You got them
anyways,
all,
Matt. Huh?
You got them all, Matt.
I got them all. I get them all, don't I? But anyways,
we
I'd
all
like
love
to
your hug.
A happy holiday. Have a nice day on Thursday, which is Christmas, and if you celebrate Christmas, and to Stars James and Stars Dragon Spirit, it's always wonderful. I learn so much. I don't know where they get all their knowledge from. I'm not that smart. I mean, I can do other things, but I can't do what they do. So that's what makes it nice for me, because I get to listen and learn at the same time, and it's really good. And so with that, I believe our topic next week is going to be, do you fit? Is that right, James and Cheyenne? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, do you fit or do you fit in?
Yeah, do you fit or do you fit in? And sometimes we often wonder about that. So thank you again. We'll see you next week, same time, same station. And I love you guys a whole lot. You have a great evening, okay?
Happy
love you, too.
Everybody,
bye,
have a
bye-bye.
Great night.
Good night.